Hello, everyone. Oh, fucking hell.
Hello and welcome to What's the Buttons.
Turkey and stuffing crisps, that's what these are. I'm not going to eat them fucking throughout
No,
the
go on. I dare you.
Hold on.
No balls. There he is. Get that rustle in. Oh, perfection.
Hold on, here we go.
Gold what? Gold wonder?
Golden wonders.
Golden wonders.
Golden wonders.
Where the fuck did you get them from? Oh. I don't know if I can get the crisp of the
biscuit. Oh my god. Bit of ASMR for it.
Oh. You fucking like that, didn't you?
Yeah, alright.
Really upset Mark with the...
Connor's here.
Hello.
As you can hear.
It's me.
And yeah, he's going to basically carry this podcast.
It's Monday. It's not Friday.
It's Monday.
It's post-work. We're all here.
Yep. So yeah, it was terrible. I'm really not supposed. You're supposed to have a mute button for when you want to eat. People can't hear you muting. Not to eat him. Obviously not on this podcast.
No.
Let me just lick my fingers.
Raw, unedited footage.
Tasty. You want to talk about Valgard?
Can do.
How much playtime have you managed to get into it?
Somewhere around 15 hours in two days.
In 2 days?
Yeah.
Which is a decent amount of time.
It only came out Friday, and I didn't play it Friday.
I've never played any of the Dragon Ages.
I have played all of them.
All of them, so...
Every single one.
Is this one vastly different to the others?
100%.
Okie dokie.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
So, the first game was Origin. Second was just called 2. Then it was Inquisition, and now we're on the Veilguard. This one plays a lot more like God of War.
Oh, really?
Or really? even kind of like New World that we're all kind of playing at the minute. Quite similar. But I'd say it feels more like God of War because it's...
Is it quite linear?
Yes. So they've changed it drastically on... So I'd say the first game was quite linear. It had obviously sections and missions you would go through. You travelled. You only had a set area that you could go around in. But this is talking about a game that came out in 2009. So gameplay was different.
Yeah,
but it was very much more... you picked your team so you could have 3 companions, which now you can only have 2 with you at all times, which is much more like Mass Effect. Because that used to be, you could only carry 2 squad mates with you as your little fire team, which is now, I suppose it does feel, thinking about it that way, it feels more like Mass Effect. Because Mass Effect used to be, you would have your class, and then you would have abilities within that class. And like when I played them on console, it would be, you know, like right bumper and left bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously shooting, zoom in, whatever else. But you would have your abilities on that. And then say like Y or triangle would have another ability. It feels a lot more like that now because you pick your class and you've got certain abilities inside of that. I know for the whole game or the whole series, you've had different ones. You've had different abilities in the main classes. There's only 3 classes, warrior, mage and rogue. So each one has something different. The warrior can be sword and board or big sword. There's different specializations in it, which they did in the old games.
I love sword and board. I love that as a terminology.
Then rogue's got daggers or bow, and then mage's got like fire, ice, and I think they do like necrotic and then blood.
I'm just having a look at it now.
But it plays a lot more from what it used to be, where you just used to like spam your abilities and have like all you'd have to do was go to an enemy and you'd click like A or whatever your attack button would be, and you'd just be doing an attack like on WoW almost, but you'd have a short rotation of abilities you could do. So for like fighter, you'd have like a cleave, a stomp, and whatever else, but it used to
like
be...
Like New World, where you've only got 3 abilities per weapon, pretty much.
Basically. Very similar, actually, because you only get 3 main abilities, and then you get, like, an ultimate move that builds up over time.
Yeah, yeah.
which before you used to be able to have almost sort of like WoW, where you'd have a short key between, you had like your main three or four, because I think it used to, I haven't played these games in a long time, but even though they used to be like some of my favorite games, but again, it's been, Inquisition came out in like 2013, 2014. So it's
that
been
long.
Yeah. Well, I looked at it this morning while I was waiting for you earlier. The Dragon Age Origins, the first game, came out in 2009. I remember playing the like ultimate Game of the Year version of that, fucking loving that as a young teen. Then Dragon Age 2 came out in 2011, and then 2013, 2014, Inquisition came out, and then the whole series went dead. That was it for ages. And then obviously...
Inquisition wasn't a bad game, was it?
No, it was... So some people didn't like it. I don't really know why, because I enjoyed it. But then I know people are ragging on Veilguard for it. The only thing I'd say about Inquisition, it was one of those type of games that gets a bit too big for its boots.
Not in a sense of like...
It was... You know, you had so many different areas that you could visit, but then they had, I don't know, like... 24 missions in one area and big areas to explore, like sort of Valhalla, but you know, it was all a little bit too much for certain areas. So it'd be like, in the mission to take you there for doing a main mission, and then you could still go back and visit and do whatever else in this sandbox area, but it was up
but
to
there
you.
Was nothing to do really.
It was up to you what you wanted to do, because there'd be a lot of like puzzles and enemies to fight and little like chambers and dungeons and bits and pieces that I found, like looking back at it, I probably didn't do a lot of areas just because it was such a big game.
Yeah.
I remember playing Origin and I'd play that again and again and again and again, and it wasn't as big, and there wasn't big sandbox areas. It was just, you're doing... Like, I always remember you had to go to certain areas to get certain allies and build your power back up in Origin. And you'd go to places like the Circle, which was this mage tower, and you'd have to go through all of that. But it was very straightforward. It was only like forward and back in level design that you could move around it. But it wasn't like, okay, you know, you're going to be running across a field for 4 minutes to get to the other side of the map, sort of thing. Two was very linear, because it would just, apart from being in certain places, you didn't really visit anywhere. It'd be like, here's a mission, you're going to a cave. Here's a mission, you're going around the streets. You could then wander around certain places in town, but it didn't really let you do much more than that, which kind of kept you on the rails. Three obviously then got bigger, and now in four, in Veilguard, they've brought it kind of back to that. And it feels... more like, that's why I say it feels more like God of War, because it's got areas you can visit, but you can't really deviate.
Yeah, you've got exploration, but of a...
Well, it's got, the way I say it's like God of War, at least number one, because I haven't played Ragnarok yet, even though I want to play it, because it's only recently come to PC, is that you've got very similar sort of themes, where obviously you think of... the Yggdrasil and like the sections where you teleport off, you get to the hub in the middle and you can go to areas. This has got that in a sense of that as you get through the start of the story, you uncover this place called the Crossroads.
Yeah.
Which your main hub is called the Lighthouse, which is an area of the Crossroads. You go into the Crossroads and it's like an area you can explore and fight enemies, kind of similar to like as you're exploring Midgard.
I see what you mean.
You go off to different sections of that and you find these alluvian, which are portals that you use to take to the areas of the game you're playing at. And essentially, once you unlock an area, you can go there repeatedly back and forth as many times as you want. You can explore it, but it's more like God of War, because you can go back there, you can explore it. There might be a door or a passage that's locked or barricaded that you can't get through without
That standard like level design where it gives you the idea that you're in an open world area, but you're not in an open world area.
It's sandbox, it's more sandbox than...
But that typical recipe of like, here's a starting area. Oh, there's a cave that you, like, covered in bramble or some shit, yeah, and you can't get through the bramble yet. And then, in 40 hours worth of gameplay,
yeah,
you go, oh, look, now I can fucking burn this bramble away, so let me go back.
That's essentially what's happening, because as you get more companions, they've each got their own, like, special.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, one can, once the story progressed far enough, one can move certain stones that you couldn't move before, so you can, like, jump on top of them to get to the next bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, one can... One breathes fire and breaks walls, and, it detonates, like, explosives that break walls, and another one can bring, like, these... The big aspect in Dragon Age is this thing called the Fade, which is like the place between the real and the not real.
Is that what they call it? The real and the not real?
No. You've got reality, the veil, and the Fade. And the Fade is the dream world, basically. And the veil is the barrier between it, because in the Fade, there's demons, monsters, all sorts of things that try and get over to... It's mostly demons and spirits that try to get over to the material.
Yeah.
And this one person can bring, like, aspects over in terms of, like, terrain, so you can jump up to get to places and uncover items and bits and pieces. It's all
like a multi-layered type.
Yeah. But you don't need to have that companion to be able to use those abilities once you've unlocked them, because you do it through, you've got, like, a magic item that you
clever through. So you're not locked to that fucking companion.
But obviously you then get to pick between, I think there's 6 total companions now, I believe. But but you can only, the difference of it before, as it was before, is that now you used to be able to pick 3 companions, now you can only pick 2.
I've got an article here, and it says it's from Forbes. This is the main thing Dragon Age: The Veil Guard gets wrong.
Ooh.
Which would be somewhat interesting, because obviously where you've already played parts of it. It says, I liked Dragon Age: The Veil Guard quite a bit. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10 and was engaged enough to now run second playthrough with a new glass. because I mainly want to see how combat would evolve. What I'm not expecting is seeing the story evolve in new ways, simply because it can't. Not to any great extent, it seems. I have one major problem with... Well, so he's angry because he's got... When he plays
another character, he's not got so many choices.
Right.
That's just BioWare.
I have one major problem with Dragon Age: Veilguard, and no, it has nothing to do with the endless culture wars surrounding the game. Rather, I think they played it way too safe with the tone. This is a game with close to zero edge to it. A lack of conflict, a lack of truly tough choices, and a lack of letting your rook be anything close to ruthless. If not actually sort of evil, which is of course possible in many RPGs, and past Dragon Age games allowed for more grey areas than what we see here. I've seen that come up before, because we were talking a little bit about it in the Discord, and I've seen quite a few people talk about how, I don't play it, so I'm on a bit of a skewed, I can only go by what I've seen.
Mm.
You can't be bad. In the interactions, in the conversations and stuff like that.
That seems quite BioWare-y in the sense that you are technically playing a hero. So and repeatedly you're playing heroes in Dragon Age games that ultimately they're probably not aiming for you to do outright evil shit most of the time. But
yeah.
I can see why. Even so far, I can see that it's toned down a little bit from what it could necessarily be. But then, it's a difficult one to balance, though. If you want to play an evil character, like, play a game that's not an offshoot RPG.
Do you know I'd imagine there's different endings to it.
Yeah, I believe there's 5.
Right.
I think. But I don't know if that's, like, good ending... Bad ending versus good ending, like evil ending. Like, say you took Baldur's Gate, you can just be objectively evil.
Like what Ash is doing at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, but then I suppose that's the difference of the fact that this isn't a...
I feel like if you're trying to compare something like Veilguard to Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I feel like that is. You've objectively...
Baldur's Gate is pure fantasy.
Yeah.
That is your... that game is such a masterpiece in itself, but also gives you the absolute freedom to be whoever you want, because that is what D&D is.
Pretty much.
You make your character how you want
to. They're happy to give you like fourteen different dialogue options for interaction.
Because that's the fantasy. That's the game. That's what it. If you had Baldur's Gate and then limited it,
you'd
be kicking off, because you go, well, that's not fucking D&D universe, is it?
Yeah, no. D&D is the option of free choice, whereas
full like fucking role play.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it's like, well, you're going to strangulate me on my role play. Like, what the fuck?
All of a sudden, I've got to be a hero and not be like, oh yeah, you've got the option to do a dirge run, and like, you know, that's extra little bit of spice.
And you think is Veilguard falling into that sort of, not through Veilguard's fault of its own, but
there will be comparisons.
I'd
say if Veilguard came out before Baldur's Gate had a full release and let you play through everything, and I feel like you wouldn't have that level of criticism.
Ultimately
the Dragon Age games are about you fighting adversity, not necessarily you know every time you play a character in Dragon Age, you're essentially fighting a bigger threat. It's not do you know the different definitions of fantasy by any chance? So when by that look, I imagine no.
So when
you talk about fantasy, there's varying different levels of it. So there's high fantasy, which is like D&D, which is obviously has your typical spread of
what we do.
Yeah, is essentially, you know, there's the world is heavily influenced by magic, and that kind of sets the tone for the ability to do more bigger and grander things. So you would say Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
And D&D is high fantasy.
Yeah.
Then if you flipped it and said...
Would Star Wars count as high fantasy?
Star Wars is a space opera.
Fucking hell. Right, yeah, okay.
Which is its own thing.
Right, okay.
And then there's dark fantasy.
Yep,
which is... I'm struggling.
Warhammer?
No. Warhammer's the next one.
Oh, okay.
So dark fantasy is, I will have to look it up because I can't remember the exact definition of it, but essentially it means that the setting is obviously darker and grittier, but it also is that the stakes are a little bit higher in terms of, it adds disturbing and frightening themes, but then also adds horror. And I think it says that it's the fact that you're typically always up against a great, bigger and greater evil that has the potential to it's such a weird one because I remember looking it up before because I wanted a classification.
So it's grittier, more horror, and you're constantly against a higher enemy that could annihilate you.
Distinct in the presence of dark elements such as horror, fear, apocalyptic, or magical threats to a realm that lead the plot.
So would you say, and what genre, what was that?
That's dark fantasy.
So would you say that The Last of Us is dark fantasy?
Yes.
Right, okay. And then like Days Gone. So that higher threat, apocalyptic.
Days Gone... Last of Us.
Control?
Probably.
Because there's a greater power there, the hiss. Oh, okay.
Essentially, so, you know, that's...
And that's quite gory, gritty
horror.
So it's
something that will be more... So it'd be, say, if... So the way I would look at it is if you joined my homebrew campaign for D&D, that, I argue, is dark fantasy to me.
Right.
Because of the way that I still have all the D&D elements... But I try and tone down make the tone a lot heavier.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if
you
played, there's a good adventure module, Curse of Strahd. That is a level between dark fantasy, still keeping the D&D elements, but is dark fantasy leaning into the third category, grimdark.
That's Warhammer, isn't it?
Warhammer 40K and Old World. Warhammer is grimdark, which is essentially, it's a fucking meat, like meat slog, meat grinder. There is no, there is no end to it.
No happiness. There is no, no there solitude.
Is no, there is no overcoming it. It is, this is our life, and we are, you know, we are slave to it. We have no control over it.
Because that is Warhammer, isn't it? It's constant war. Yeah. A state of constant war, regardless where you go.
There is small motes of light in this situation, but there is ultimately the setting is just your, you exist, you suffer, you die.
Great.
Essentially.
That's great. That is fantastic. But
so of that logic, I would say that technically Baldur's Gate is high fantasy. But then, I know, I understand you would turn around and go, yeah, but it's dark fantasy because there's a magical threat. But you go, yeah, but that's only for a certain area. So if you think of the grand scheme of things of Baldur's Gate is set in and around Baldur's Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the D&D universe, Faerun, is a whole planet. And you turn around and go, oh, there's a situation going on in Baldur's Gate, or it's not going to affect someone in fucking the other side of the world. Like, you know.
But do you not have the freedom to turn your playthrough of Baldur's Gate into dark fantasy?
Yeah, essentially. You can, well, by the if you pick the evil route in Baldur's Gate, you essentially you're, I don't really want to spoil anything, but you essentially just give rise to the problem.
Yeah. So you let it all in.
Yeah, so you let the bad thing happen, which I obviously don't know what the end of Valgard is. I imagine that probably is an option. Because I could imagine BioWare, from having played most of their games, is, you know, as you go through, that it will be, right, well, we've got to stop the big bad, and then another one's probably going to be, okay, we've stopped the big bad, but now we're going to go through with their plan.
Now we are the big bad.
Yeah, essentially. Like, oh, it wasn't, their plan wasn't that bad after all. Let's just go with it.
What's the art style like? Because that's another thing that I've seen people are talking about, that not, is different.
It's not as gimmicky as it was in the trailer. Because I know everyone went, oh, it's fucking Fortnite graphics. But I'm struggling to... It is maybe a little bit more cartoony. But it's not... hold on.
I'd imagine they're using a different engine for this.
If you're comparing, you're comparing a game that's 10 years old to its predecessor.
Yeah.
So I don't have a way to... Unless I was to look up the last one. But I took a screen cap of my... Me, when I made me. Yeah, there's the lineup. So, the art style.
Why do they all look the same? Oh, because you're picking your class.
Yes, the class. So, there is a moment where you do look at some of the characters and you can tell it's a video game versus, but I kind of prefer that. I don't see a huge amount of difference between that and some of the older games.
It's almost
the only thing I will.
It's almost like Guardians of the Galaxy,
sort of
esque type.
The only thing I would complain about is the armors, because some of them do just look goofy.
Yeah,
but that's been the style of the. That's the way they've made things look from the very start. Is that armors looked a certain way? They always looked a little bit more fantasy than they looked functional.
See what you mean.
But
yeah,
it's hard to compare. You go, oh, it doesn't look like a Dragon Age game. The last Dragon Age game came out 10 years ago. You have to adjust to the times to then turn around and say, oh, it looks shit. And you go, yeah, but you complained about fucking hyper-realism in like Starfield. And even then, I was looking when I played the very little bit of Starfield that I played, I got Uncanny Valley and just was like, this is shit.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate the way these characters look.
It's too weird.
Yeah, and then like when BioWare's other ones, Andromeda, came out, they were like, oh yeah, this all looks shit. It's like, it doesn't matter. Everyone's going to complain about something with regards to the graphics of the game, whether it doesn't look one way or it doesn't look another way. Because I will say that Valgard looks very artistic in terms of everything else.
Because it's quite not controversial, because I don't believe it to be a controversial thing. But I know a lot of people are complaining about certain aspects of the game, and then that just in turn means that, right, well, I'm just going to complain about every aspect of the game because I'm angry about the game. Wetties.
Pretty much.
It's just like, fucking...
I'll say I'm definitely a Dragon Age veteran in terms of I've played them since the start, or very near the start, like when maybe not played Dragon Age when it first came out, but considering I would have been, what, fucking 13? Like, and didn't have adult money to buy my own shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and trying to get a, I think, like, Dragon Age was either a 16 or an 18 at the time.
Yeah.
Like, managed to get hold of it at whatever age, like 14, 15. Obviously, before Dragon Age 2 released. So, yeah, probably, what, 14.
Well, that's fucking illegal then, isn't it? Your parents should be ashamed.
Who cares?
Disgusting.
Who cares? The government doesn't know.
You take no notice of the ratings. Arsehole.
I do what I want.
So, yeah, go on.
But, forgot what I was saying now. But, yeah, that playing all the games through, and even here now at the last game, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just glad to have Dragon Age content that I haven't had in years. Granted, they've had like comics and whatever else, but there's been no game since the last one.
Mm.
I wonder if I can just look at a comparison between Inquisition and Veilguard. And I imagine it won't be much different, I feel.
What else have we got from this? This is an M-rated game that very much plays and acts and sounds like a T for teen-rated game. Yes, here and there you'll hear an F-bomb or see a boob, mainly in the character creator only, but there's little bloody violence and the entire thing just feels... See, that... I don't like it. I don't... So that...
I can kind of see where there that it isn't really an M.
Yeah, but...
But then, yes, I know that...
here and there, you'll hear an F-bomb and see a boob, and then in brackets, mainly in the character creator only. It's that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Where it's... I don't know, man. I don't know why that kind of shit is just... I just find that a bit creepy. You know what I mean?
So, okay, here we go. Here's a comparison of one of the previous NPCs to now one of like the mainline companions in terms of how they've adjusted the art style. So obviously,
which one's which?
This is the older one, and the right hand side is the newer one.
So it looks way better on the the newer one.
It just looks nicer,
cleaner.
Yeah.
Oh no! Oh God forbid!
So like, yeah, compare the two. So that would have been. I don't know if that's gonna be game footage for the right hand side, but it looks basically on my PC it looks very fucking similar. So if you can turn around and say people
So it looks better on Veilguard.
So people are complaining saying it looks too cartoony or the graphics are fucking whatever. It just looks like it's for a current gen.
I don't get that at all.
Thing. So the game just looks good.
But you would if 10 years, which in the graphical world is fucking ginormous. If you release Dragon Age Veilguard and then it were to look the same as Inquisition, what would people be doing?
Yeah.
They'd be complaining because you go, oh, you've been 10 years and the graphics look no different.
I'll say that probably
to Inquisition.
Like the lip sync is probably out a little bit, but I know that's difficult in games anyway.
Yeah.
So. And that might just be, I know I'm running on like ultra or high to ultra, so it might, I don't know if it's something to do with the tearing, but I'm getting like at least 80 frames most of the time. So, but like...
Someone said, it's just all too happy-go-lucky. Yes, I do really like my team and most of the quest lines and the overall story and lore, but it feels bizarre that your rook cannot be anything but mildly blunt. And there are a few, if any, real conflicts that last more than a minute or two. Whether it's between you and your team members with each other, or more of a handful of snooty authority figures you encounter along the way, the worst thing I ever did was punch an annoying guy. This is not bad writing in terms of the literal lines of dialogue. I'd argue it's a problem with the story structure and character arcs. The game will sometimes give you a hard decision in a way that is cheating, like an early no-win call. Oh, then it says spoilers follow, so I'll cease.
I have made one.
I'll cease reading.
I have
from
made
that
one major choice so far, and it's essentially an A or B type of situation. I feel that that's what they mean of that no-win situation, where it doesn't matter which one you pick. You're gonna something. It's good for one situation and bad for the other.
Yeah.
This is an M-rated game, and I really don't understand why they didn't insert more conflict, more actual violence, more sex, a big part of BioWare games.
More sex, yeah.
The tone is all wrong. All the edges have been totally sanded down. It's very difficult for me to speak a whole lot about it because I've never played any of the Dragon Age games. They don't draw me in any way, shape, or form. and it's... it's just difficult to hear and read people complaining about a game which they obviously have a lot of affinity with, as an outsider that doesn't really understand it, because a lot of the whining to me sounds like you're whining for the sake of whining.
Yeah, I'd argue even in the last games, the fact they're turning around and going, oh, they want more sex in them and stuff like that, they weren't even that present in the other games. Like they were, there's romances,
yeah,
but in true BioWare fashion, the romance is like, you know, you interact with the character, you pick the romance option, like the little love heart dialogue option, and you follow that for X amount through the arcs, and then you have the big romance scene, which, you know, probably they got away with it. As far as I'm aware, they haven't really gotten away with it that much, like in the last few games. That probably the most like raunchy one that I can think of was probably fucking Mass Effect 1, which is like, you know, a bit of side boob, and like definitely The Witcher does it more heavy.
Like I say, it's a difficult one because I think
as for the rest, yeah, maybe they could, like, I feel so far that it's been maybe a little bit light in terms of the mature themes, but even then, like, it's been so long since an older game that I can't really remember what they're trying to compare to.
Isn't there a setting as well that means that you cannot die?
Yes.
I've never heard of that before, other than like an invincibility cheat.
But there is a setting I think it is in the setting for, yeah, you can't get knocked down. So, like, your health can't go below, like, 1%.
Yeah.
Which, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
No.
Because
I don't really give a fuck.
Sure, I don't know how you're that kind of person in terms of a gamer, that you're being that exclusive that you turn around to someone who wants to play the game but isn't necessarily as good, because the combat plays more like God of War, where it's, instead of you just pick a target, there's, you know, you've got a dodge, you've got a parry, you've got to manage your little abilities and whatever, and you've got heavy and light attacks, which you never used to have in the old game. That if some people don't like that kind of game, which you turn around and go, I want to play Dragon. I know that's probably an element of, this is the new style of Dragon Age, that we're moving to that sort of combat system because that just seems the way of it now, that you turn around and go, okay, that you will find people who can't play that way.
Yeah.
And you turn around and say, well, if they're struggling, they want to enjoy the story.
It's also relatively similar to just playing a game on easy mode.
Yeah.
Majority of games that have a difficulty setting and you switch over to easy, most of it's pretty brain dead.
Yeah.
For a lot of that. Me personally, if I was
still feel like you could die on easy mode.
Yeah.
Because there's enough, so, obviously, in Dragon Age, there is dragons.
Yeah.
And you do come across them, and they are tough.
Shock horror.
Yeah, shock horror that they're tough, that you could turn around and go, I don't really want to have to go through all this again to get to the same point, even if you are playing on fucking easy mode. You turn around and go, okay, I just don't want to die.
I feel like that will be, it's that one again of...
Yeah, what kind of soy boy is out there going... there's a setting in the game that says I can't die, and I'm never going to use it. But I'm furious that it's there.
There'll be loads of people. That is the exact same people that get pissed off that there's different pronouns in it.
Yeah.
You don't have to fucking use them. You don't have to use that setting. You don't have to use that bit in the character creator. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. It's the same type of people.
Whenever you said it, I don't know if it was last week or if it was. At whatever point you said that there was people upset about the pronouns and the wokeness of it. And I just looked at, I was like, I've played like 15, 16 hours or whatever it is now. Apart from the character creator, I've not come across anything like that. I don't know, there was an article saying there was a 2-minute cutscene about talking about pronouns. Like, what, 2 minutes is going to kill you to just be like, okay, whatever.
The
fucking fail guard.
The bit that's always bugged me about it is the argument for it you're spoiling the fantasy. I can't relate to this because it's not part of the fantasy, and it's
fantasy in their world that there's only fucking two genders and man woman.
It's such a fucking wind up because it doesn't matter if you're like us and you genuinely don't care.
Yeah,
like it doesn't bother me whatsoever. I do not care. Then perfect. It's not an issue.
It was when we text it.
Yeah,
makes me laugh because Dragon Age Origins had male and female relationship options, like same gender.
But this is the thing that people are getting so wound up by.
Number two, but Dragon Age 2, all of the romanceable companions were bi. So it didn't matter if you were male, didn't matter if you were female, you could romance them.
Yeah.
Then Inquisition locked you out of certain options based on gender. But most of the time, there was more than a few characters that just didn't care and went either way. There was like maybe one of each gender that didn't go for gay relationships. And there was a trans character in Inquisition. So you can't turn around and go, oh, I don't like it because it's been shoved in my face. And I go look at it and go, I don't think any of the main cast is like the companions or are they them.
But people have that mindset that oh, this is what gaming is gonna turn into. And you look at it from the other side, you go, what? Just inclusivity. It's annoying because that's the main thing that people are wound up about is things like the pronouns and the being in today's day and age, and then inserting it into game, and then going, oh, gaming's not political, be like that. And you go, it's not a political thing to get involved in.
I think I read that they were like, oh, I don't like the fact that they're using like modern vernacular in a fantasy game. It's like,
why not?
Who cares?
It's a fantasy game.
It's a fantasy game. They're not talking about fucking guns and fucking cars. The thing that's always
gripe me about it, it's the same with
damn it, Lord, I'll take you up the river, yeah?
It's the same with whinging about only being able to play a woman or a bloke in a game and having a fucking tetch about that. In that you've predominantly, as gaming as a whole, is male dominated.
Heavily.
As the main thing. I know it's getting better now, but definitely at the beginning of the game, and it was a fucking male-dominated industry. Yeah. So fucking 95% of the games that you play as a geezer through most of it. And it's like all the people that didn't want to play as a geezer, it's like, no, push you in the corner. Really, let's not worry about you. But then the minute it switched around the other way, that's when it's all, they're throwing it in my face. What's happened to gaming?
I really don't understand it. From a Dragon Age fan, do not have any understanding of why that's a big deal. But when you go back to the first game, second game, third, you can play male or female, and you can play, first game you could play as different species.
Mm-hmm.
Second game you could only play as human. But you had male-female option.
What I don't understand about it is
third and fourth, you can play all of the species in the game.
Things like World of Warcraft with the Irvin Dwarf race that come out. You can be a woman with a beard. No one's whinging about that.
Yeah.
No one's fucking whinging about that. New World and the character customization. You can have female hairstyles on the males. The women can have fucking beards as well. Cyberpunk, the fucking geezer.
You can put a dick on a
woman and vice versa. So you can literally make... Yeah, you have the freedom to make whatever person you decide to make. No one whinging about that.
All of a sudden, in the Dragon Age game that's had the option of genders. Oh, not in my Dragon Age.
Which is crazy. Because I go, what?
Woke guard.
But no one's making you play. If you...
There's no need to play.
If I play a game, you give me a game where I can make different characters, right? Typically, I'm going to pick a guy, right? Yeah. They're going to be tall. They're going to be somewhat heavy built, right? And they're going to have a beard.
Yeah.
Because that's what I like to play. And I'm not discrediting the fact that if you're into the role-playing side of a game, that having a character that resembles either yourself or what you're trying to perceive, like play as this game. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It's the incessant whinging that people do for anything other than what you... it's
a game.
It's just so annoying.
Play what you want. Stop crying about it.
I'm adamant.
And I'd say as well that the character customizer is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Some of it's a little bit like hit and miss in terms of like the obviously like hairstyles and beard styles are just whatever they've modeled. But in terms of the actual face design, you've got face presets, but then you've got like a build slider. So obviously like muscular, heavy, skinny, and it's the triangle you can flick around to. But then you can like slightly adjust the height of the character based on the race. And then you flick down through and... You know, there's a full section. I know it's not necessarily like Sims level of like you can pull sections out, but you can essentially pick different faces you might like, and then you can run. It does the same sort of slider beyond the presets, and you can like slide towards whether you'd want to have like a skinny face, a heavy face, or somewhere in between. It's pretty good, ultimately. And then you've got the sub sliders, so it's, you know, play whatever you want, and then don't complain about it, especially when it's not... Like, who else is playing? It's a single-player game. No one else is going to see you, apart from you.
I didn't even think about that side of things either. Single-player game.
Yeah. No. Who's crying about it? It's not like you're going around and like, WoW or any other game that's got, like, co-op features. No one's complaining about Space Marine where you can only play as men.
It was just a, fucking heavier point because we were talking about it in the Discord, having a discussion about it. And there's some people that sit on one side of the fence, and then there's other people that sit on the other side of the fence, and it's just trying to understand the mindset of it, which I suppose is the same the other way around. The people whose thoughts don't align with ours are in the same camp that we are, just on the other side, where I don't understand why you've got an issue with having to play as a woman or whatever, but at the same time, I guess those people can't understand why we don't have an issue with it.
For them types of people, I would need to sit down and say, what is your underlying issue with it?
Yeah, who hurt you?
Like,
what happened in your fucking head where there's an issue?
What ultimately is the reason that you don't like the fact that they've added a they-them aspect to the character creator?
Like, that was the worst bit. Like someone pointed out, I don't use pronouns. You do.
Yeah, you're
because
he.
You're a he. There you go.
You're a he and they.
Dickhead.
He, him, they.
It's just I always feel like that's what it's going to be with a lot of games now with that sort of stuff, is that you're going to see more and more of the inclusivity, but at the same time, whilst that's great, you're also going to get more and more of the people fucking whinging about it, because for some reason people feel that whinging about it is going to be the thing that stops that.
Yeah,
but that's just not going to happen, because it's such a for people like ourselves that aren't affected by that, it's such a minute thing. Whereas for the person that is non-binary, is trans, is a woman, is black, is whatever, is monumental to them. That's what it should be. It don't really make a difference to me.
It's in even in my friends group, the other nerds that I play D&D with. There is a they.
Mm-hmm.
Non-binary. Mm-hmm. It's staying non-binary. And I've had one that's gone from female to... was had top surgery and is now more identifying as he, they. So it's like... I feel like that would be ideal for them in terms of the inclusion. I know they don't really care and they're quite easy going with it. But the fact that that's there is... Well, it's refreshing from some perspective. And I don't see... Probably why, for the fact that I've got those types of friends that I'm not bothered by it.
Yeah.
Versus you have Mark Manister.
if there's a character customization, I just feel like you should have the, especially in a fantasy game.
Especially where it's one that's given you more free choice for making who you want to play as. Do you play a human, you play a dwarf, you play an elf, you play the Kunari, which are basically like horned. They're meant to be related to dragons, but they've technically become more human appearing.
Mm-hmm.
You play a fucking horned dude if you want, and you can be a they or a them or whatever. You know, it's not a big deal. You play a game because you want to enjoy it. Like, granted, I made the first character I made is basically me, and I'm playing sword and board. But then, I'm part of me's like, I'm not really loving the ability of the warrior because it's a shield toss.
Yeah.
And I've like, that's gimmicky. That's very Marvel fucking.
Yeah, you're not fucking.
I'm not loving it. Like
Captain America.
Yeah, comparing to other bits and pieces. And I know for a fact I'm sitting there going, I know who I'd make as a second character. If or when I do a second thing, playthrough.
And which is?
Well, I'd make my like main D&D character, which is an elf ranger, but I'd make him an elf rogue.
Mm.
And that'd be my playthrough and it'd be slightly different.
We've all got our own preferences to, yeah. I'm the same. I play a New World, big fucking axe and a hatchet that I can slice into people's faces, please. Start giving me the range stuff. I've tried it out. Don't like it. Same with World of Warcraft. Get me up and close into someone's face with some fucking knives or something. I want to be in there, but you turn me into a warlock or a mage or fucking whatever. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like being at a distance. It's not what my play style is. No matter how good a ranged class is compared to a melee class, I just can't do it because I don't find the same excitement.
Everyone's got such different opinions on things, and then to be bashing a game just about, like, I don't even really want to look at reviews because, it was annoying because when I was going to hold off for a bit necessarily, and then seeing, obviously it was like IGN gives it like 9 out of 10, and I'm like, doubt. And then whoever else giving it like 8s, 9s, I'm like, even more doubt, you know. This game that I've not really followed but been interested in, because I don't really watch trailers or follow game news particularly. It's quite loosely, despite, you know, coming on here and needing to talk about games. It's like, I follow it quite loosely because I always find that, you know, the games you follow, like even you said it today, that you're not interested in old Assassin's Creed Shadows anymore. Because of whatever's been going on with it, which is like, that's what puts you in their moods as you go, you see gameplay or you see whatever. And
I just don't, I think it looks very good, and I'm still excited for it. I just don't think I'm 250 quid's worth of excited for it.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I bought the Mirage Collector's Edition, but that was like 130 quid.
Yeah.
Still a lot of money, but for a Collector's Edition, it's not bad. Whereas, 250 for this, it, whilst I would love to have the statue, it's sort of like, I'm in the middle of moving house. I'm fucking...
Yeah, it's a little bit much.
It's been delayed.
That's the next one.
If I was a fucking stock market, I'd gone down a little bit when that delay got announced, because I was like, oh, fucking hell. Like, fair enough if you've delayed it. That's a smart thing. I'm not one of those people that says, I want it now. But it is Ubisoft at the end of the day. And ultimately, they're not very good.
No. That was my concern for Valgaard, because guess who's in charge of it? EA.
Yeah.
Which, we know what they do.
Yeah, EA and Ubisoft are just fucking...
I remember the highlight of the grand days of EA.
Yep.
But they're not anymore.
EA, Ubisoft, Microsoft, and you think, we're starting to get a bit fucking creepy.
We're starting to fuck things up here.
A little bit of money grabby here.
Yeah, and... You know, seeing the reviews and everyone being like, oh, wow, it's going to be fucking Wokeguard and Failguard. Oh, it's shit. The game looks shit. It looks terrible. The characters look goofy. And I'm looking at it going, they look decent. They look better than fucking Starfield.
Yeah.
And like some of the other games that come out, and you think like, and then obviously ultimately it came down to me as like Dragon Age veteran. It's like, I want to see what this game's got. I said it to you, if I don't like it in the first 10 hours, I'll fucking give it back.
Yeah.
Or I'll just, because it's Dragon Age, I'll slog through it. But everyone said that Dragon Age 2 was shit. I don't know what the opinion of it is now, but at the time everyone was like, oh yeah, it's the worst Dragon Age. It's terrible. You can't make choices and fucking whatever. I enjoyed it.
It's the same as I think that Assassin's Creed Origins was fucking awful for a lot of people. Yeah. That's one of their favourite ones. I genuinely hated it. I hate it.
Yeah, the style of Assassin's Creed was the one.
Yeah, it's not for me, and I've said it multiple times, but for a lot of people, they really, really enjoy it. Yeah. The only difference is that rather than fucking write a review, I sat on a podcast instead and whinged about it. And
slagged it off instead, yeah.
On episode 79, 84.
But that's it at the end. Like, that was my commitment. I said, it's a Dragon Age game, and I've not played a Dragon Age game in so long. I want to see what it's got going for it. And, you know, basically across the weekend, I couldn't stop playing it.
Yeah, which obviously, which says sign that it's good.
Which says something for it, for the fact that, yeah, granted, my time's limited, so the weekends is pretty much the only time I get to play. But the fact I was happy to go, no, as soon as I'd sorted stuff out on Saturday, you know, food shop and whatever else, it was like, no, I'm going to play this game now. And then played it through till dinner and even played it after, and then got to a point where I was like, I'm in a new era, and I'm like, I'm so tired.
Single player, semi-linear game. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Thing is, it's my perfect type of game. That is exactly what I want out of a game, for the most part. I still like co-op stuff and would like to have more co-op stuff. But annoyingly, a lot of co-op stuff's fucking survival, which is the why.
So sick of it.
The only problem is I wouldn't want to play it solo. You don't like it. And then all my other mates are like, they only play at like 9 o'clock till later. And I'm like, that, I need to go to bed.
I hate survival aspects. I hate survival mechanics, and I hate building.
Yeah.
I hate it. I just don't like survival games. Not my cup of tea.
Which then leads us into, what else am I going to play? I'm not going to play like massive, like, granted, playing New World, but considering the last 2 weeks I've not played a lot of it, getting fucked over at work, being busy. And then instead,
he's loading lights
on. I was going to put a different one.
Instead, playing a single player game that I can essentially, you know, I probably won't play tonight. More than likely, by the time I know it's not that late, but by the time I get back home and have dinner, I'm not going to really want to get involved for an hour. That I can leave that for a little while till I get a better day. I know I won't really necessarily be doing much this week because I've still got a pack to go away next week. But like, you know, it's much better for me, especially without having to do all the... If it turn around and go, oh, it's a sandbox map, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So that's going to be me running around looking...
Trying to find shit.
And find all the bits and all the hidden areas and all the loot. And if you turn around and the top of the map tells me, oh, there's 12 out of 24 chests here.
You go, oh, fuck, I've got to find the others. Oh, you
bastard. Like, granted, this Valguard does that, but the maps are smaller.
Yeah, if it's linear...
Like in the time that I've played it, I've pretty much, there's at least one area that I'm like 95% cleared, and that's one of the hubs. Then another one's like 80-odd%, and it's nearly cleared. There's like two more chests to find.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a lot easier for me to play that style of game because it just goes, okay, there's a few little hidden areas and you might have to come back here, but we're putting fast travel points everywhere, so it's so much easier to just drop into that map. That's far more up my street than fucking like Valhalla or a lot of any of that trio of Assassin's Creed that I just went, they're too big.
Too big. Too
I
big.
Can't I can't deal with them.
And that's your fucking review?
Pretty much. It's worth it. You know, I don't know if it will apply to everyone, but so far I've put a lot of hours in 2 days, so I've been loving it, and we'll see how it goes in the fucking next, when I eventually finish it, because they say it's at least 40 to 50 hours to complete, just straight through,
decent.
And then it's like 70 if you were to do everything, which, you know, if you're factoring that game's 50 quid as standard, the deluxe is like 70 quid. That if you get 70 hours out of it, and I'm likely to do a second playthrough when I get time.
Money for value's there, then.
Yeah, it's a bit like...
Value for money.
When you turn around and go, oh, how many hours you got in Baldur's Gate? You got like 300.
Yeah.
And you go, well, I've played that game over X amount of years, would love to go back to it, but it's just, there's so much other stuff to get through.
Yeah. But all right, well,
that's that.
We're going to do the Patreon now.
Yeah, buddy.
See you later, everyone.
Ooh.